Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis, very shortly about to leave to go and watch the new Halloween movie with Luke.
Yes, mate.
And I'm joined by Luke Owen, who's not going to go too long on either intro or outro.
Absolutely not.
Because a surprise visit, well, I say surprise visit from the health and safety man, but one that I'd had booked in for 3 weeks and completely forgot about is more accurate.
Yes.
That's what's taken up a lot of my day today. And Then Crown Jewel got confirmed, had to reshoot a bit of the news.
I posted up a wrong thumbnail on a news episode.
So it's honeymoon.
No, my 1 year anniversary. Yes, I'm off tomorrow, that being Friday. Of course, you're listening to this on a Saturday, so I'm actually already in Herefordshire. I'm not gonna be around on Monday for the Evolution wrap up. So let's get through some of your emails. This is from Little SHTE. Hey, Luke and Ollie. I've been going through an absolutely terrible time. I won't go into it, but I kind of fell for some girls' tricks. So they basically messed with me for 4 days. Every night I listen to you before I go to bed, and literally all of my stress goes away. In fact, I'm listening to you right now as I write this message. I just need to tell you that I do love you guys, and I feel like I'm your actual mate, and you know, and I know everything about you. Thank you for everything. You don't have to keep me anonymous, vacant in Ollie's terms. Again, thank you, support WrestleTalk. I love you. Goodbye. Thank you very much for your lovely little email.
You are our friend.
You are our friend. Absolutely. I am going to read out. So, fun fact for you. I found a load of emails that we'd missed out because I'd filed them under crap gimmicks. And I found them while researching for crap gimmicks.
The hidden stash.
They were indeed.
And the lovely innocent days before SummerSlam.
So I was fine. I was going through all of my emails today. I decided to start to put them into other subheadings within my email. So if I get a Rusev Hey, that can go into Rusev Hey folder rather than just going into podcast stuff.
Mm.
And interestingly, Agony Aunt is our most emailed topic.
That's good, because that's the one that actually does some kind of good, depending on how bad our advice is.
Yeah, well, let's find out. This one comes in from Vacant. Hey, Luke. Brackets and Ollie, I guess. I have an agony aunt situation I would like your advice on. For the past 2 years, I've been dating my current girlfriend and have been living with her for nearly a year now. Mm. Everything is great. However, personally, I'm struggling with finances. Guess there isn't much jobs out here for people with music business degrees. Last month, I got offered this fantastic opportunity and was offered the job to teach English in China at a school. The money is great, full-time, and I get my flat paid for. But I guess you can see where my problem is. I can't take my girlfriend over to China. We've spoken about it, and she's not happy about the long-distance relationship, and I don't want to wait over a year until I move back. What do I do? Do I take the job, money, and travel experience and lose my girlfriend, or do I stay, live paycheck to paycheck, and be with her? Thanks in advance. I love you guys. I listen to the podcast every day, and it helps with a lot of stressful S in my life.
Oh, geez. This is a tough one.
This is tough.
And it really depends, in my mind, on a few other bits, like how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think my famously, I do not care for any relationship for people under 25. Yeah. I think you're still relearning what a relationship is.
Yep. Although they are living together, so like
I lived with my girlfriend.
Did you?
Oh yes. Mate, I'm a nester.
Oh, that's a terrible decision.
I'm either a nester or sleeping with everyone.
No,
those are my two positions.
I've only lived with one girl in my entire life, and I married her.
Yeah. Well, you need to test drive more women.
No.
You can't just did it the right way round.
I found the car that I really like, and I was test driving that and decided that I was going to buy that car.
Yeah.
With a wedding ring and a wedding.
Oh, so you didn't move in with her until...
No, we did move in together. But by that point, I already knew that this was the woman I was going to marry.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you see, before the age of 25... there were many women that I thought I was going to marry.
Mm.
So I moved in with them.
I just lived at my parents' house for years. I didn't move out of my parents' house until I was 20... how long have I been in this house for? About 28, about the time I actually finally moved out of my parents' house. I lived away for a little bit, but I was saving up to buy a house with the woman that I loved.
Yeah, well, I sort of did that thing where you sleep with your housemate at uni and then you just have to stay with
them for
a
year.
Dan. So that's a part... Sorry, we've gotten away from the topic at hand.
Yeah.
That is a part of it. Like, I would say if you are under 25 years old, you want to go, really, and try out loads of new things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be more heavily weighted in the leaving, and it's not going to work. It very rarely works long distance.
Yeah, I mean, so I...
She'll sleep with people, you'll sleep with people.
I, during the very early days of my relationship with the woman that I eventually married, I very nearly moved out to Thailand because the company I was working for was expanding out into Thailand and they needed someone to go over there and essentially open up the Thailand office.
And, like the WWE pop song says, you're a fan of the best of both worlds? Was that a factor?
That was a contributing factor. And essentially, the Thailand office would have just been an office. They were going to buy me a little flat.
Whoa.
And then I was just going to work from home all the time.
Whoa.
I was in very early days. We're in this relationship that I eventually, we married. But we had a conversation where I was like, I may have to go to Thailand. I was like, how do you feel about that?
Mm.
She was very cool about it. She was just like, yeah, no, it'd be fine. It'd be absolutely fine. But I can almost see behind her eyes, this is not going to work out if I go.
Yeah.
And that's going to really suck. And I decided in the end, I mean, granted, I didn't get offered it, but I think even if I had been offered it, I probably wouldn't have taken it. And I'd have preferred to just stay working in Maidenhead, which is like the Thailand of the Southeast.
Yeah. So we've probably helped you very little there.
Yeah, oh, well, that's the way we do things here on the Agony Arts.
I feel like sometimes we at least come down on one side or the other for bad reasons or not. But it's quite... I'm stuck in the middle on this one.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how much you like the girl.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you're having this... You're seriously considering it kind of suggests.
Yeah. Also, you've emailed into a wrestling podcast, which means you're essentially just looking for us to tell you to go.
Yeah, for a justification.
Maybe. But let's hear what we've actually got.
If it was me, I wouldn't even be considering it.
If I was 22, I'd have probably gone out to China, because when are you going to get that opportunity again?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So, anyway, we'll jump into the show now. We're going to be talking about what next for WWE and their potentially top guys. Now the horrible Roman Reigns situation has happened. Here's the show.
Well, we're still kind of beaten up about the Roman Reigns announcement on Monday.
Yeah, it's still kind of like kicking around in our thoughts, and like every time we sort of do a video, I kind of sit down and think, God, this is all pointless, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, this is all just silly and pointless.
No, it's very much got a point. We're all helping each other through it.
Exactly.
I feel like when I finally got to terms with one part, like, okay, he's got leukemia. I did, who would have thought it? And not just now, but he's had it since he was 22, really. It'd been in remission or however it's meant to be phrased. But then I'm like, oh my God, but there's the other side of it, which is this... It's never really happened in WWE, where they've built a guy for 5 years Like, the whole company's been built around this guy. And in Vince's singular vision, which he's always had, people look at the Attitude Era and go, well, you know, he built it around loads of different stars. Rock, Austin, Taker.
Triple H.
That I don't think that was him. I just think there were so many strong personalities, and that's the way the business was, that happened. If it was up to him, I'm sure it would have been Hulk Hogan, then Ultimate Warrior, then The Rock.
Well, yeah, well,
he would have even gone for Stone Cold.
Well, it would be like Brett, Shawn. And like, during the Attitude Era, it really was like, Austin is our guy. Like, we're building the whole company around Austin. And then it was like, actually, he's got some neck issues, might have to take some time off. Probably better build some other people as well. And that's when you got the Triple H push. That's when you got the Rock push. That's where you got, I mean, the Rock push came, yeah, it came around sort of that period as well. So then when Austin did have to go out with his neck surgery, they had that year gap where they were like, cool, well, it's Triple H and the Rock then. They're going to lead this company until Austin gets back. And then as soon as Austin came back, let's put the belt right back on him and we'll go ahead with it.
And that year out was one of the best years creatively for WWE, I think.
Year.
You know, it's the rise of Kurt Angle as well and like Chris Jericho and all those other things happening.
Yeah.
But then after all that happened, Vince like seemed to go back into cruise control. I've got John Cena and I'm going to stay with John Cena just like Hogan for years, and that's the way it was. But I don't think that model really works in this day and age, because people get bored with stuff a lot quicker and want to turn on traditional baby faces like that more. And that's certainly what happened. And then we got Roman Reigns, and the same thing was happening with Roman. He was groomed, he was positioned, he was going to be the top guy. No other guys, really. Everyone else would just bump off him.
As you once eloquently said, he became a black hole on Raw that things just fell into. And that's not a dig at Joe, the person. It's Roman Reigns, the character. He really was. Like, things were just built around him in order to either put him over or to make him seem better. Like, and there were lots of people that suffered off the back of that. We were like, people were screaming, God, you could really do something with Dean Ambrose. You could, like, there was a point where people were like, he could be the next top guy in this company.
Oh, yeah.
But they were like, no, it's Roman. We're going with Roman. Then you were like, well, okay, well, it's Seth then. We really think that Seth should be the guy. And they were like, no, it's definitely Roman. We've made up our mind. Oh, well, Daniel Bryan's back. Nah, well, Roman's still here. So it's definitely Roman. And it was AJ Styles. Nope. Roman's our guy.
Yeah, so everyone has played second. Like, there's Roman. Roman has been presented in that John Cena, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar echelon right at the top there, and everyone else has been down at the bottom, not at the bottom, but a couple of layers below. And those are your full-time guys, and then they come in and out of feuds with Roman, and then sometimes they're in a tag team, and sometimes they're fighting for the Intercontinental title. But Roman's Universal title is always, he's up there in the mix. So now that Roman's not around for however long this takes, like, you know, could be years.
Could be
years.
Could be forever.
Yeah, it could be more indefinite than that. And they're in a position where they have not made anyone. They have no one. And I know you, like, there'll be a lot of people sitting at home going, but what about AJ Styles? What about Braun Strowman? And like, all of those guys, you're gonna say, because I've looked extensively through Raw and SmackDown's rosters, that like, no one is on that level. No one has been built to be the guy. And no one, like, I don't think, even Daniel Bryan, who I would love the company to be built around, fact of the matter is, like, he's been botched. Mm-hmm. He's been botched so much, I don't know if they can bring that momentum back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. We said on the Raw review, like, they put all of these eggs into this Roman-shaped basket. And now, unfortunately, that basket has fallen apart. And
well, the basket dropped, all the eggs went kablooey.
So now you're looking at this being like, well, great, now what do we do?
Make an omelette, floor omelette.
Like, and you'd say that they haven't really created these top guys, and I completely agree with you, because when I looked at Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar, instantly I was like, oh, I'm so much less interested in that match. In terms of, like, because Roman really felt like he was a star going, like, because that's the way the company presents it. He's the star going into this match. So Brock versus Braun feels so much less interesting. Mm. And Braun as Universal Champion, just, he doesn't feel like he's at that level where he could be Universal Champion.
He could have been.
He could have been.
He could have been a couple of months ago.
Absolutely, he could have been. Absolutely.
But they turned him heel again to reverse engineer other characters for the Roman Reigns
And Braun is now so less over than he was just a few months ago.
Plus, I think part of the Brock-Roman stuff at Crown Jewel, which is it's going ahead.
It's happening.
We just found that out. You're watching it Saturday, but we're recording this Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Afternoon for us UK time. And we've seen Braun and Brock at No Mercy last year.
It were no good.
It was very disappointing.
Yeah.
Because that was a scenario where everyone was behind Braun.
Yeah.
And I think we're even saying, cool and audible. Mm-hmm. Put the strap on Braun.
You've got this plan in place for Roman to win the belt at WrestleMania, but actually, you've got someone who's really hot at the moment. You should really, pushing him to the moon. But they stuck to the gun, stuck to the plan. And now, Braun is so much less over than he was just a few months ago. And he doesn't feel like the guy. He doesn't feel like someone you can build Raw around, let alone the company.
Mm. And there's other problems, like how much of a dominant force he is. Like, how do you book around that? So what? Like, what's your answer? What should WWE do post Roman?
Well, I mean, I said on the Raw review, I probably wouldn't have gone with the Braun babyface turn. I'd have stuck with the story you told last week, which was Drew. Like Dave Meltzer said this on Wrestling Observer Radio, and I didn't really think about this at the time, but when Meltzer was talking about it, I was like, actually, that is an interesting way of seeing it. You could have reverse engineered and sort of like, revisionist history and say that what Drew did last week when he attacked Braun was his babyface turn. And that was him splitting away from the heel Dolph. It was him splitting away from the heel Braun. And then you push him as a super babyface. And that's your new guy. That's your new golden goose to build something around. And Drew is the kind of guy he's got the height that they like. He's got the physique they like. He's got the look that they like. He can cut a promo. He can wrestle really good. He is a guy that you could theoretically build Raw around.
And I love Drew. I think he's fantastic. And all of those things are massive ticks, but there's someone who's really, really excellent, and then there's superstar, as DDP Yoga would say.
Yeah.
Superstar.
Yes.
And I don't think Drew is... You need something... I never thought Roman was the superstar. Mm-hmm. John Cena is. And like, as much as, we hated him for a long, long time, he very much is. Stone Cold, Rock, Triple H, like, they're all...
Larger than life.
Superstars. But, I can't see anyone. Like, I'm going through the roster. Bray Wyatt hasn't done anything since, when? So you had that rubbish tag title run with Matt Hardy in a joke.
There's a, we got a video going up tomorrow, which is, like, bizarre championship reigns. And through watching that video that Fakador did, I've remembered that Bray Wyatt was WWE champion once. I genuinely forgot that he was a WWE champion for all of like 3 weeks. But I completely forgot. And then I sat down these like a rush of memories when we were like a few years ago when a lot of like wrestling fans were going like, God, they could do something massive with Bray Wyatt. Like he could be this generation's Undertaker, really push him, make him the new phenom of WWE. But he was fed to John Cena and then has just slowly and gradually just dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. And even when he won the WWE Championship, we were all sort of went, it's not lasting though, is it? Because he's just going to lose it to Randy Orton. And he's literally there to give the belt to Randy. There was nothing more that could be said about Bray Wyatt at that point. It was like, God, you're a transitional champion. He had it written all over him.
Which is weird because he won it off another transitional champion, John Cena.
Yeah.
That was the end of a fantastic storyline, though. The Viper and the Family thing on SmackDown in that sort of golden era of SmackDown after the brand split.
The end was really the maggot.
Yes. Yeah.
And House of Horrors.
But yeah, like Bray Wyatt back in the day, I always thought he could be Roman Reigns' Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have that dynamic where they just eternally feud, especially like in the golden days of the Shield Wyatt family feud. Yeah. And then there's that awesome spot where Bray Wyatt was making the pin and he just points and Roman leaps over him and spears him. So you got these two foes who would occasionally unite and be amazing, but they hate each other so much. So yeah, but Bray's gone. Bobby Lashley's too old.
Bray could be brought back though. Like he's getting a character refresh. But it depends on how strong that character refresh is and how people react to said character refresh.
If they can pull it off, I will be so happy. I just don't see how. Mm-hmm. But like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, these guys, they feel new and young because they've only just come into WWE. But the reality is they're in their late 30s, early 40s. AJ Styles said he's probably only going to wrestle for another year or two anyway. So these guys are on the out too. These aren't people you can build not just now around, but the next 5 years around.
The next 10 years.
It's an aging main roster. And then, so you kind of, like Finn Balor, he's another guy who could have been that guy, could be in the superstar.
Superstar role, mix. Absolutely, yeah. But they decided he wasn't, and look where he is now.
Sami Zayn could have been like one of the biggest baby faces.
He was the most like over baby face in NXT. Like he was probably one of the most over baby faces in WWE as a whole. People were so enamored with Sami Zayn. And you haven't seen that, really. And like, and then recently with Johnny Gargano, like everyone was just so into
a pure baby face.
But it's brought to the main roster, and they were like, "Nah, don't like him," and just done nothing with him. And I'd imagine the same will happen to Gargano when he eventually makes his jump to the main roster. They just won't see the superstar potential in him,
unless. And this is one of WWE's biggest positives. They are very good with booking with their back against the wall.
This is what we said on Raw.
Yeah.
A terrific episode, because all of a sudden they were like, right, well, we're back into the corner, we need to do something.
One of the company's biggest ever booms was because they were being attacked by WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Although this isn't the same...
It took them several years.
Although this isn't the same kind of threat, it is one where they have found themselves in a situation where all of their plans have been scuppered. Seth Rollins, if you asked me earlier this year, I would have gone push him to the moon. But again, it's like he's been flattened out. He's been flattened out because of the Roman Reigns Shield reunion.
Yeah.
And Dean Ambrose. Like, it's all playing second fiddle to Reigns.
So I think really the answer in this, and you sort of said it yourself when we are part of an era at the moment with short-term memories. And we just want things now, things to change, things to do quicker, essentially, in terrible English terms.
Mm.
So perhaps the answer to this is an NXT call-up. You do a shock NXT call-up and you're like, this is our new guy. You push them straight into a main event role. You have them win the title very quickly. You present them as a superstar because you haven't got the baggage of being flattened out on Raw, the baggage of being in this Roman black hole. And you're like, this is a fresh start. This is a brand new person. And we're going to use this as our new top dude.
And people will be like, well, that's too soon. Like, you can't just debut someone and let them win the championship. Finn Balor was doing okay.
Yeah.
Before he got his torn labrum.
Kurt Angle did very well in his... Like, that Kurt Angle, his rookie year was specifically designed that by the end of it, they were like, he's now one of our top dudes. Mm. Like, the whole thing was brilliantly orchestrated that within a year of him being in that company, he was already... He's a superstar in this company. He's a top dude. And Brock Lesnar came in, won the belt very, very quickly. Randy Orton. You know, these guys that could come in and be like, as long as you orchestrate this well, you can present them as superstars right off the bat.
And I know WWE like to... So speaking of NXT call-ups, I know WWE like to put indie guys through the production ringer in NXT, even though they can work phenomenally.
Got to know where that hard camera is, brother.
Oh, yeah. Like, can't they just learn that for a few weeks on the on traveling and let their raw talent get them over, and people will overlook those bits of finesse? And sometimes, like, I don't want my performers to know where everything is and do everything professionally. I want it to be, like, real, because, you know, isn't that a novelty in a fake sport? So... I've got to say, Keith Lee and Matt Riddle. Mm-hmm. You just call those two guys up and let them have some wars.
Yep.
I mean, there is an opportunity here, you know, a silver lining to a very awful real-life situation, to completely revamp WWE and say, like, now we're going, not for the Attitude Era, but here's the new era. Like, we're out of the Roman era now, which is what the last... 5 years have been.
Yeah.
Before that, it was the reality era, wasn't
Cena
it?
Era.
And then the Cena era. There was the reality with the Punk bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was the Cena years before them. And then Triple H.
the Ruthless Aggression era. That's, mm-hmm. Ruthless Aggression era is really the prequel trilogy of the wrestling world. It is an era that if you were part of the Attitude, like if you grew up during the Attitude era, like the original trilogy, you're like, yeah, Ruthless Aggression just wasn't as good. It just wasn't as good as the Attitude era. But if you grew up during the Ruthless Aggression era, like the prequels, you're like, they're the best. Because that's what I've got nostalgic memories for.
You don't get many people going, oh, those Randy Orton, John Cena matches in the late 2000s.
You do if you grew up during the Ruthless Aggression era.
I don't think any self-respecting fans think that. So, what about you? Who would you call up?
Matt, I'm with you. It's certainly Matt Riddle, Keith Lee. But the other name that I've been very much behind almost since day dot, and I've said that this is a guy you can build a company around, it's Aleister Black. I think Aleister Black is someone you can debut on the main roster instantly because of the way he looks and the way that he wrestles. He is your new CM Punk. He is someone that fans, particularly vocal male fans, will see and be like, he is so cool. He's so awesome. He wrestles like an absolute star. He presents himself so awesomely. I've got to get behind this guy. Because that's what Punk did. Punk came in, and he was like a breath of fresh air in WWE when he was part of ECW and no one was really watching that show. Then he came up to Raw, and he was doing the stuff on SmackDown and everything again. But after a while, people were like, he is really cool because he looks different from everyone else. He's got something different about him. And people started to really get behind that. And I think you can have that with Aleister Black. He does not look like anyone else on that roster. In NXT and the main roster, he has got a completely unique look. He's got a unique wrestling style, a unique entrance. He cuts promos unlike anyone else. He is someone who you really could turn into a superstar.
Yeah, I think you said it very well. When it's a breath of fresh air. Like now,
yeah.
I don't think it's time to repackage a Bray Wyatt or give another push to Seth Rollins. It's like now's the time for a complete revamp.
Yeah.
NXT Invasion at Survivor Series. I don't know. It's like I just want to see something different. Man.
I think that's what we need. Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie L. Bakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and our A's.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you want a shout out on this very show, head over to Patreon right now and pledge $25 a month or more, where you'll get loads of other bonuses like exclusive podcasts, two a month, the Wrestle Ramble Extra One, where we review old pay-per-views of your submissions, and Ramble Club.
Where we do our top five matches of the month outside of the WWE landscape.
Oh, no, it's including WWE now.
Yes, that's right.
They just never make it.
So that includes things like, if you want to hear Ollie's thoughts on NXT matches, if you want to hear Ollie's thoughts on 205 Live matches, his thoughts on New Japan, OTT we're going to be doing this month. We've got loads of really great stuff over on Patreon, so come on over and get involved. It's a fun old time.
And we will be doing a Fantasy Booking Warfare In the next 2 weeks. It's just, there's been so many prediction shows.
Yeah.
Where we've had to push it back.
Because Evolution's this weekend, and it's Crown Jewel the following weekend, so there's all like predictions and reviews and stuff around that. And it's just, to do Fantasy Book and Warfare would end up, we wouldn't be able to put our full attention to it.
But thank you. Have a cup of tea, Lee.
Yes, mate. The real true heel, Len Bren.
Woo-hoo, cheers, yes. Lenny. The real deal sex appeal, Andy Puckett.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's got a sexy man.
Possible rhyming surname. Caught in a Travis Webb.
Caught
in a web.
We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Good punnage. Like it.
It's an okay punnage, one that Luke came up with.
I think it's all right. Charlie, drink it in, Zyman.
That's much better. I like that one.
Thank you, man.
Daring Danny Richardson.
Always daring.
Oh,
like Dan.
What's he gonna do next?
What you talking about, Jerry Willis? Yes.
It's a Different Strokes reference.
I'm with the times.
King George Phillips.
Royal. Woo. And finally, Joking Joshua Selig. Yes, lovely stuff.
Thanks, guys.
We'll have more of those $25 and above shout-outs next week. If you're wondering to yourself, what the heckins is a crap gimmick? Crap gimmicks is a section we do here every single Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the Swaff Nation, submit to us your suggestions for crap gimmick wrestling, and then we, the bookers of said crap gimmick wrestling, decide whether or not we want to assign them to crap gimmick wrestling. If you want to submit your submission, it is luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. We do have a massive backlog around about the 250 mark at the moment. Currently, we're in July, July 17th to be precise, and this one comes in from Random Reject. Good evening, gentlemen. Mira is a women's wrestler. She always makes her entrance last. When she does make her way to the ring, she is copying the outfit and entrance of her opponent for that night. When she's hit with a move, she then hits the same move back on her opponent before selling. Now, I'm going to stop you there because I can already tell by your reaction. We get these sorts of submissions a lot.
It's not really a gimmick. It's just they copy the other person.
But this one's called Mira.
I don't like these ones. I don't like ones where there's a psychic element and they know all the moves before it's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't like ones where the characters know it's all a work. Well, so they don't sell stuff.
Let's see if Matt Oakley from July 19th can fare better. Hi, Luke and Ollie. Thank you so much for reading my email out. If you remember, I'm the blind person who not exactly met a wrestler, but also got almost run down Teddy Long. Hearing my email read out made my day recently. So you might remember that. Ramble podcast version.
He got booked in a one-on-one match with The Undertaker later that night.
Introducing Tank Engine, a gimmick based around trains. Like Emelina, there are hype packages for the first few weeks, just saying, coming to a platform near you, followed by various train noises. However, unlike the Emelina gimmick, this only goes about 4 weeks. Unfortunately, when it's time for the Tank Engine to make his debut, like Eva Marie, it's announced that his debut has been delayed due to a technical problem. The next week, he's due to debut, but he's delayed from the previous week's town, eventually turning up an hour after the show has ended. The third week, an announcement is made again that unfortunately Tank can't make it, since people have bought a ticket to see him, he will be replaced by a temporary wrestler service. Finally, we get to meet Tank Engine, a stocky, sweaty man wearing the stereotypical train overalls and covered in cold dirt. As he approaches the ring, he has an entourage lined up behind him. But as he gets closer to the ring, he stops every few feet and some of the entourage leave into the crowd, taking a seat, declaring, "This is my station." When he starts his match, he moves very slow and appears sluggish, but eventually he builds momentum by, you guessed it, building up steam, eventually making a comeback by first walking, then running around the ring screaming choo-choo. His finisher is a running powerbomb called the Runaway Train, and his moves include a DDT called the Derailleur and an armbar called Tickets Please.
I really like it.
Solid.
I like the... I mean, I would have gone further. I would have had a whole year where he keeps getting delayed and missing the shows.
Yeah.
Like once every month or so, he'll get there just as the show's finishing and we go, "We're out of time, we're off air."
Yes.
Or, you know, like he'll just arrive as there's a big beat down. There'll be a big beat down angle going and the commentator, "Oh my God, it's the train, it's the tank.
Tank engine.
He's here, but, you know, we're out of time." and keep that going.
I would also have like almost like Y2J's countdown timer, just like a board full of like arrivals with his name, and like it would just come up saying delayed.
Yeah.
Or cancelled.
I think there's a lot of material there for promos. I can't tell you what it would be, but I feel like there is. And when he's cutting promos on opponents. I like that.
Well,
I like the visual of people get like,
yes.
And they can, they, it's good to, because it's going to be a crap show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crap gimmick roster. And we're going to need plants in the audience to get people excited.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like a 2013 episode of Impact.
This one comes in from Meng from July 21st. Presumably not Meng as in Haku.
As in the scariest man that ever lived.
Because if it is, then we're just accepting this one because I don't want Meng being angry at me. Hello, Luke, Ollie. Hello, Ollie and Luke and /or Laurie. My name is Meng, longtime follower from Thailand. Thanks a lot and keep up all the good work. You guys are the best. This is my first email to you guys. I don't know if my English skill is good enough, so sorry for any mistakes. Listening to you guys helps me improve my English as well. Hashtag WrestleTalk get better. Thank you very much for the email, Meng. I'll be honest with you, it's actually very well written.
People, like, foreigners or non-English speakers who say that in their emails are usually better than I write.
Oh, absolutely. And they're so good I can't read them properly because I'm very bad at reading things. I know this will sound like an earlier suggestion, so shout out to Chris Michaels, the commentator. The commentator was one we didn't sign. Mm. My suggestion is a two-man babyface tag team called 2MB or Two-Man Booth, which consists of PBP and James the Color Jackson. They are a former wrestling commentator who got tired of getting their table destroyed week after week. The gimmick is when one guy is in the ring, the other will do commentary from the corner. When Jamie wrestles, PBB will call the action play by play. And when PBB gets tagged in, Jamie will do some trash talk comedy spots with interjections like "Mamma Mia!" Their finish is called End of the Match, a double team clothesline into a spine buster, just because I kind of like it. And after hitting the move, Pete play by play will say, "That's the end of the match." And they have a catchphrase, "We will put you over."
I really like that. I really like the motivation of two commentators who are so annoyed with their table getting destroyed week after week. You can start to build that on our weekly crap gimmick episodes.
Absolutely.
And then they finally like, "No, we're gonna go for you," and they get signed and they can go through training montages.
Yep.
And then the actual wrestling aspect of it, where one's always commentating on the other in the tap when they're on the apron.
Yeah.
See, that's very good.
And I totally see them as well. In my head, I'm picturing the two commentators from Dodgeball.
Oh, I can't visually remember that.
And so you want Googling things live on air. Mine
are kind of like WCW tuxedo.
Yeah.
And if it's Bash at the Beach, Hawaiian shirts. That's what... They're like old school, early 90s, 80s commentators in my head.
Those guys.
Yes.
It's particularly...
It's Jason Bateman and that guy who's in everything and looks like everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
His name escapes me now, which is really going to annoy me because he's really funny in Office Space. So I suppose, really, it comes down to, do you want Tank Engine or Two-Man Booth?
This is tough.
It is tough. Or you could have Mirror.
What are you leaning towards? It's not Mirror.
Well, I really like Tank Engine because I think there's so much... I hate to say this, mileage, you can get out of like train-based jokes like a lot of British stand-ups do. There is also quite a lot to be said about 2MB. Two-Man Booth is very good. It's also two trading cards. Oh, no, they'll only get a tag team trading card, I suppose.
I've got to go 2MB.
Yeah?
I think. Unless you want to...
No, I think I'm going to go 2MB. I like 2MB. It's done.
Congratulations, Meng.
If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon at any dollar amount, and then you can leave a question in the community area on our Patreon page. We'll find it, put it into the little mailbag here, and read it out and answer it. This one comes in from Phil Stopford. All right, son, hope you're well.
Britain's next top model, Phil Stopford.
Phil Stopford, who's going to be coming to our live show.
Is he? We can finally meet him. That's great.
Because he unfortunately couldn't make it up to Wrestling MediaCon.
That's a plug for the live show, by the way. Buy tickets from the Prince Charles Cinema
that
website.
Was very subtle by me. So this was sent before we got to our NXT reviews, but this is in regards to our review of TNA Unbreakable 2005.
An interesting show.
The incredible main event of AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe versus Christopher Daniels for the X Division Championship. Anyway, my mailbag question is in two parts and extends from Ollie saying that back in 2005, he'd have given AJ Joe Daniels a 5-star rating back then, but now it's only a 4.5-star match. Question one, what do you both need from a match to make it 5 stars? And two, what match or matches did you rate a 5-star match but now think, that was great at the time, but now it's not so good? For me, that would be Hogan Warrior at WrestleMania 6. Love all the work you do, and Laurie too, of course.
So this is interesting. As incredible as AJ, Joe, and Daniels is... And if I saw it at the time, which was 2005, my mind would have been blown.
Yeah.
Like, even if I was keeping up with the indies.
Like, I called it at the time, like, one of the best matches I'd ever seen
exactly.
in my life.
But watching it back now, it's like, it's not as good as 205 Live matches.
No. I think I said on the podcast, I can't quite remember if this is exactly what I said, but it was like, if this was on a WWE pay-per-view now, like a main roster pay-per-view, we probably would be calling it, like, one of the best matches in WWE in 2018, but anywhere else, so many things that would have overshadowed it.
Yeah.
It feels like the sort of style that your opening matches do on most indie shows you go to.
Exactly, WWE is always about 7 years behind the art form outside of it. It would just be put in... I mean, AJ and Joe are feature performers on WWE now, so that shows how behind the times they are.
Yeah, I know.
13 years ago
after
they were
the fact,
in the main event of Unbreakable. But the interesting comparison, I think, would be something that happened about 7 years, 6 years previous, 8 years previously, which was the first ever Hell in a Cell match.
Mm.
Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, which we reviewed last month, Bad Blood, or this month.
This month.
This month, Bad Blood. And that's a 5-star match to me. Watching it today, I've never seen that match,
it
and I watched it
up.
There, and it held up because it's got not just fantastic wrestling, not just like a historical reason because first hand on the cell, Kane's debut, but the storytelling in that match is sublime. And I didn't know much about what was going on around in the storyline, but I got it all from the presentation of that match.
Yeah,
AJ Daniels Joe. Has that, but nowhere near in the same volume. So that would be the full 5-star rating to satisfy just great in-ring work, a fantastic story, and characters that I'm into.
I think because you keep up the douchebag rating scale on the Wrestle Ramble Extra episodes, and I don't think people can go back and correct me, but there haven't been that many 5-star matches from you in terms of the pay-per-views that we've recorded, where you've gone, that is definitely a 5-star match. But there have been two that I can think of, and both of them are Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, because we also did their match at WrestleMania 25, which you also said was a 5-star
match. That's a 5-star match. We've done Money in the Bank 2011. Punk Cena is 5 stars. And how can you forget Mike Awesome versus
Masato Tanaka.
Masato Tanaka from ECW One Night Stand. Which confounds expectations. There is no... every reason I have... Like fools, that is just a 10-minute punk rock song that I want to watch over and over again because it's freaking incredible.
Absolutely, yeah. So essentially, what Ollie is saying is you need to have character story or Mike Awesome like power bombing Masato Tanaka over the rope through like a billion tables and being really dangerous.
Yeah,
I think for me, if you want to have a 5-star match in my book, you probably want to have Volta in it. That's almost like instantly it becomes a 5-star match because Volta's the best.
That's what most people have been doing this month, looking at our Ramble Club shortlist.
Yeah, you can tell that I've picked them. So I think, is there any matches that you would have rated 5 stars in the past but now are not so sure on?
I only started rating stuff 5 stars late last year.
I think I would have said, if you'd asked me in 2001, I would have said that the hardcore triple threat from WrestleMania X7 is a 5-star match because I absolutely loved it to pieces. And I watched it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And I loved it every single time I watched it. If I watched it now, I'd probably say it's probably 4¾. Only because the art form has progressed. And when I look back at it now, that sort of fake staging area where they just throw people through like they're King Kong and Godzilla, it looks a bit hokey.
I would probably say the first TLC match. I thought that was better than the second for a long time
until
we rewatched both, and I thought actually the second's better.
Yeah.
We've done both of them now.
Yeah,
yeah. SummerSlam 2000 and WrestleMania X7.
That's right. So this one comes in from the weirdest name we have in our patronage. Asuka's future husband and EOF one-man wrecking crew skin trade. Mailbag. Asuka's current status and her future.
We've got to ask him what that means.
Well, here he says, what's everyone's thoughts on the alleged reason that my lovely future wife is being held back on the main roster due to her English skills? Having literally bumped into her on the streets Rumble weekend in Philly and chatted, yes, her English is not perfect, but it's better than portrayed. And she's a smart cookie, so getting better at it would be doable. However, does she want to and does she care, TBH? Is she happy with a decent paycheck, the lack of responsibility that comes with being the face of the brand, if you're holding the top gold, or simply not seeing the WWE as anything more than something she's just doing right now? Essentially what you're saying, is she doing a Shinsuke Nakamura?
I think that can be said of so many people on that roster. Like, you know, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Yeah.
People who just go there, work a much... And, like, you know, you can't blame them. These people have families. These people don't want to get the heckins knocked out of them every night with stiff matches and Ishii. It's fine for Ishii. The man's not got a neck. But other people do have necks, and it hurts them.
Yeah.
So, it's not like these people have gone right in that way. They've more than paid their dues or of like wrestling this hard style for years and years. It is on the flip side. It is unfortunate to see these really talented people just settle.
Yeah.
Like, and it does chip away at your respect for them because, you know, Dolph Ziggler should leave. Chad Gable should leave. The Good Brothers should leave.
Mm-hmm.
What Nakamura, he's the United States champion, he should leave, like,
yeah.
And just, but then, I don't know, it's a tricky question, but I know exactly what you're talking about,
and it is really interesting as well. Like, I wonder if she has just sort of settled into this role because, as you say in the email, she can speak very good English. Nakamura can speak incredibly well. Like, he was on Jericho's podcast and he speaks very good English and he's very articulate when he does it, but when he's cutting his promos in WWE he doesn't. And it's almost like he's probably doing it on purpose. Cameron Sykes asks, are the Riot Squad closer to being a group of rioters than the Suicide Squad was to be... Right, hold on. I've got to try and do this question right. Are the Riot Squad closer to being a group of rioters than Suicide Squad was to being a good movie? So what he's saying is...
Well, now I'm thinking, is what's worse? Yeah. It's a race to the bottom.
Pretty much is what he's asking. Are the Riot Squad better than Suicide Squad? Because you really hated Suicide Squad.
I did, because it was so frustrating, because it could have been good.
Mm.
Yeah, I did hate it. Yeah, so I'd have to go the Riot Squad are better. Because I really like Ruby. I think, you know...
I don't like Sarah Logan.
All three of them have gotten better.
Yeah.
And they really work hard. As goofy as it looks when they all push away from the ring and come at, like, enter it.
Yeah.
At least they're trying. Like, I'm still not a fan of Sheamus and Cesaro as a tag team. But at least they're trying, and I appreciate that, to be coherent.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this one last question here from Rob Pontin Problems Pontin. How can WWE win back the lifelong wrestling fan? It's no secret that the indie scene is getting hotter by the day, with hardcore fans preferring this to WWE. In my mind, with a reported change to the WWE network, should get some local indie companies onto the network, loan out developmental talent and stars that they have nothing to do with. Sorry, Rob, is a little bit confusing here. I think basically what Rob is asking is, with WWE getting reportedly Progress and ICW and all this sort of stuff up onto the network, will we be able to get some of them on loan to NXT, get some of the other guys in NXT on loan to Progress and other, these other companies? And I think he's asking, is this a way for them to get back wrestling fans who are lapsed? I would simply answer no. Because it's not that. The reason why lapsed fans are there is because they didn't find a guy that they could latch onto. People really liked The Rock and Austin. Like, that was, those are the two guys that had mainstream appeal, and that's who everyone wanted to watch. As soon as Austin and Rock left, everyone sort of lost interest. You know, there was that WCW hardcore fan base. They all tuned out because their company was gone, and the people who were watching Austin and Rock were just like, well, Austin's either heel or he's taken his ball and gone home. Rock's clearly got his eye on Hollywood and is going over there. So I don't have interest in watching this anymore. And so it wasn't the wrestling that people were into in the Attitude Era, it was the characters. So I don't think, like, the indie scene getting hotter and hotter by the day is how they're going to win back lapsed fans. It's more for hardcore fans, really. They're stuck with this.
But the stars, the wrestlers are so unique in the indie circuit that the secret to WWE really getting popular again is finding one of those and packaging them correctly.
Yeah, it's finding that one star that you can hitch a company to, is what we were talking about at the start of the show. It's that, it's finding that diamond in the rough, I suppose. It's just finding that one guy that you'd be like, that just connects with an audience.
They need to start pushing everyone and see what works. It's like, you've got 3 hours. you've got enough time.
Yes. We've got a quick Rusev Hey!
Oh, good arm rolling.
In from Darren. Back in 2015, brackets, with my ex-girlfriend, lol, I went to an NXT live event. There was this was before TakeOver London. What he's done here is he's written, this was before TakeOver London in Glasgow. I think what he means is this is
a great show.
Yeah, this is before TakeOver London, and the show I went to was in Glasgow. And I didn't really watch NXT. I'd only really just started. But I got my tickets to the event anyway because, well, anyway, the event was great. Sammy had just returned from injury and faced Balor for the championship. The next morning, I got up to check out of the hotel directly across from the SSE Hydro where the event took place. During checkout, I had to write some details on a piece of paper. Whilst I was doing that, the receptionist asked me if I was at the wrestling, which I said yes and told her how much I loved it. At this point, I could tell someone was basically pressing against me, or at least very close. I tried to turn around with little room I have and head height all I can see is someone's chest. Slowly looking up, I'm basically cornered by a smugly smiling Big Cass, who just says to me, "Thanks for coming." As I was shook, I had said, "No problem," brackets, and was a little bit scared. Checked out and left. At this point, a more normal-sized Enzo Amore was just laughing at Cass and said to leave the kid alone. Anyway, fun times. Thanks, Darren.
Ah, those were fun times when everyone liked them before they... Enzo, there's something about Enzo, like he's my best friend who has screwed up his life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, I love hanging out with you, but I wish you weren't such a dickhead.
Yeah.
And you're just so self-destructive. I've got an enormous soft spot for Enzo. All the other bits.
Aside, and his awful rap career.
Well, included, really. It's just, you know, that's part of why it's so frustrating being an Enzo fan.
This comes in from Connor Going. This is a Poetry Corner submission. Dear Luke and Ollie, I've been watching, brackets, and now listening to WrestleTalk for almost a year total, and I'm a huge fan of the work and content you produce. I've just finished a 3-month contract performing on a cruise ship where Wi-Fi access was limited, and thus connecting with friends and loved ones was a fairly infrequent occurrence. However, listening to the two of you banter and debate about shared interest helped create the feeling of just hanging out with some mates, something I wasn't really able to do, brackets, outside of my colleagues on the ship. Your chemistry as a duo is delightful, and listening to you both really cheered me up a lot, so thank you. What I find interesting about that is that he clearly had access to limited Wi-Fi, enough to download our podcast, but not call loved ones.
Yes, yeah. well, you know,
use it wisely. Absolutely, yeah. Used it wisely. I was inspired by Ollie's recent creative writing drive, and particularly intrigued about the idea of writing a poem concerning certain wrestlers' feuds or angles. So I hope that you and the Swaft Nation enjoy the following. I hope this isn't a bad poem about Roman. Here's the poem. I see you lowering your hand as you see me, pointing at your chest, then questioning the ref. So wave your hand in front of your face and stand hopeless while you cope less with the demands of being the man in a land that rejects you. The product of chided, misguided decisions made long ago by those who ought to know, too close to see the wood from the trees. And me, whispering through the branches, ushering in a new dawn. So come on. Then see the masked man in the crowd stalking you, walking as you gawk in confusion. But we are already here, putting a stop to this match and erecting a lack. As one, we rise towards the prize, advance for the chance to enforce a new course here. And now you have the gall among us all to strike like all hope, like hope remains alive and well as well as the status quo. No, we descend and the end we tend freely. Amidst the chaos, the fate of dragon dangles, entangled in the shackles of another's attire. In fire, then retire to return from ashes a beloved hero, a true champion of the people, the very role that you claim to embody through the body of the people who will not accept you. To their rescue, they will not let you. You can ring the bell for all to hear, for all the fear echoes far louder. The crowd are on the brink of disbelief, their somber mutterings of pain and suffering and nothing. The destruction is everywhere as you lie there among the wreckage. Contemplate the mess created by your success at the expense of sense. Witness the downfall of it all, the desecration necessary for the reformation. And still you fight, a light flickering on instinct when all around is darkness. So one by one we rise and you fall, and it is all we can do to hold you tall. A fleeting savior will do you no favor. On my shoulders now, I feel the weight, the physical and mental state that you have carried from the audience, harried recently, senselessly to endure the same staleness from the same male, no less, to fail. Yes, and with that, I free you, for the world I see you, broken. So go then, let them take you away, and pray begins a new day.
Well, that was a very good poem.
Yeah.
I really like the, I don't know what you call it, sort of like interior rhyming, where you
very
get,
nice.
Rather than A, B at the end of each line, it's you get words rhyming within the line.
Yeah.
We will enforce our cause, you know.
Mm, absolutely.
It's very good.
I've only recently...
I don't know what it's about.
No, neither do I. Well, I thought it might be the Nexus.
Yeah, potentially. I got a Daniel Bryan bit there sometimes. Not obviously the New Day, but that wasn't... I don't think it was anything about that.
I thought it was... yeah, I felt it was Nexus.
I must point out now, though, if anyone submitted any negative Roman Reigns emails prior to Monday's announcement... You're the worst. Even though you didn't know that announcement was coming, you are just horrid.
Just going back to Connor for a second. People. I've only recently discovered an appreciation for poetry and haven't really written any text or lyrics since my failed teenage attempts at songwriting. Nevertheless, I hope you enjoyed it. My next gig will be at the Edinburgh Festival in August. I hope it went well. Though obviously not wrestling related, if you or Ollie happen to find yourselves at the festival one weekend, I'd love to buy you both a beer. Keep up the consistently great work. Thanks, Connor. And his email tells me that he's an actor, musician, singer, dancer, voiceover artist, vocal coach, and music director.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on, choose one, mate.
Yeah, jack of all trades.
That's,
I've just clicked his website link. What a handsome chap. Website? Handsome little chap there.
Oh, wow.
See, your website just says you're an actor, singer, and musician. Where's the rest of it?
He's updated since. This is
Greatest Showman, what's all this about?
Look at this.
Was he playing The Greatest Showman?
Maybe. No, that just looks like he's on one of those pianos. It's not Bono.
That's him with Bono.
Oh, no, that is him with Bono.
It's him with Bono.
Bono. Potato, oh, potato.
With your name that sounds like a dog biscuit.
Connor began his musical career at a very young age.
Showing early aptitude as a singer and taking a keen interest in the piano skills.
He's Scottish.
Oh, well, you'd... Yeah. Well, anyways, well, we won't just read out what's on your website.
Galleries.
Galleries? Okay, well, let's get the galleries. Let's see what's going on here.
Oh, great headshot.
Oh, great. That's a great headshot.
You know what WWE wrestler does he look like?
Oh, like, yeah, got nice
long
hair, mate.
He's got a mixture of looks.
Yeah.
That is strong. But, you know, in some of these pictures, you do either look like a stock photo or a serial killer. But those are only a few. Well, like, largely.
If you're going for those two roles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Connor Gulley.
He's even got reviews.
That's a star name, that is.
Yeah. The Choir of Man is a powerhouse delight for ladies and gentlemen alike. It's from The Advertiser. This is obviously a show that he did. I wonder if it's a show that he... The Choir of a Man, Adelaide Fringe Festival. Is this a show you made?
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Connor, we're now your biggest fans.
This, you're so much more impressive than all of us here.
Well, get in touch again, Connor.
Oh, well,
send us a recording of you singing a song
yes,
for us.
Sing wrestling theme songs.
Oh, that's good.
And compose them.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said you're a musician.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What, like, what instrument could he do it on?
Oh, it's got to be like a plinky plonky piano.
No, if it's going to be a piano, it's got to be like a Casio keyboard.
No. I want a John Lewis Christmas advert version of...
Blah, blah, da, blah. Blah, blah, da, blah.
It needs to have lyrics.
Time's up. Time is now. You can't see me. Like that.
Michelle McCool's.
You can look, but you can't touch.
Yeah, okay, yes. That's the Bellas, though,
yes,
isn't it?
I know, yeah.
Let's go for the Bellas.
I can't remember what Michelle McCool's was.
Blinky Plonky piano music cover version.
What was Michelle McCool's music?
I'm so tall, 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 tall. Here's Layla.
She's the talented one. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on today's
show. We're up to watch Halloween.
We are indeed. We will see you, well, Ollie and Andy Datson will see you on Monday for the Evolution Review.
Should have foreshadowed that more. We always forget about it until the outro.
We talked about it in our NXT intro and outro as well. Which is when Laurie's come up with a new way to introduce him. Because he's a massive Harry Potter fan. It's like, you're a dork, Andy.
He cooked a really nice cake for us today.
I know.
So he's doing all right.
He's the best. Anyway, that's all we've got time for. We'll see. Well, I'll see you later in the week. But enjoy Evolution. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.